T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. Mark Reardon.
The heart of America is not government. The center of America is not Washington, D.C. The center of America is the neighborhoods where 330 million Americans are raising their kids and trying to put food on the table and trying to love their neighbors.
Mark Reardon.
There's nothing worse than a reckless jackass who thinks he's smarter than everybody else.
I am the smartest man alive!
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
Oh my gosh, ladies and gentlemen, it's finally Friday. I didn't think it would ever get here, but it has arrived. However, you cannot start the weekend until you sit here for the next, I guess it would be 52 minutes for the Reardon Roundtable. We have the panel assembled this afternoon. Jane is not here, so that means Donna Behringer, you are Jane. I hate to tag you with that this afternoon. That's
start
a terrible
tweeting.
Thing, isn't it? How are you? State Rep Donna Behringer is with us this afternoon. Good to see you.
Oh, thank you for having me, Mark.
Also, another state rep on my side of this very round table, Mary Elizabeth Coleman is here with us. How are you?
Good. Donna sits pretty close to us.
Yeah, that's okay, though. And St. Louis Alderman Jack Coder is here as well. How are you, Jack?
I'm good, Mark. Great to be with these distinguished state reps today.
I know, right? It's kind of fancy. Well, Jane, I do have empathy for her situation. She is becoming an official empty nester, so there's going to be tears with her daughter going off to college, but she'll be back next week. Let's talk about the St. Louis County, St. Louis City, I guess really just the region right now with COVID and the differences. I live very near Jeffco, Mary Elizabeth, so I shop in Jeffco and I don't have to wear
Thank
a mask,
you,
although now I think there's a lot of confusion. I talked about this yesterday, and I think this does really sum up a lot because I had a business owner from West St. Louis County text and say, and this I'm pulling the text up here because it was on point. It was involving customers that were coming in to the store. And she said, I can confirm and tell you that people are so blanking confused. I don't know what the hell is going on in St. Louis County. Every other person that walks in asks, do I have to wear a mask? Do we need to wear a mask? No, you don't. Yes, you do. People that are walking in with masks on ask us if they still have to wear it. We tell them, no, they take it off. People are coming in with masks yelling at us because we're not wearing a mask. No-win situation. It's messed up. We're busier than ever. So that sort of sums up the level of confusion. I think it was beyond anything else with what Paige and Tashara did. Sam Paige in particular, he knew this was illegal, and he knew this would set up confusion with businesses. I feel badly for the 18-year-old, 19-year-old, 20-year-old kids that are working in some of these stores. They got to take the brunt of people's opinions on this.
Yeah, and everybody has an opinion. The thing is there's a process in place, and he has a Democratic majority. If he would just work with the council, it would make an incredible amount of confusion go away, right?
People I think you're right.
want to do the right thing, but people want to have personal responsibility too. And it's funny because fighting this fight to say you have to follow the rule of law, you have to let people know what the process is, has resulted in people making those same you want to kill grandma kind of arguments. People go right back into that emotional response. And everybody's angry at the, like you said, the 18-year-old checking the groceries because no one's doing what they're supposed to. It's interesting, the TRA, though, that the judge said only barred enforcement. So you still have up the mask mandate on the county website until this
injunction. So in other words,
happens.
You can say that there's a mask mandate, you just can't enforce it. And it was unenforceable
from the very beginning.
Yeah,
there was no enforcement
mechanism. Very confusing. And I mean, what's frustrating is I actually like that the city and the county I don't always agree with Dr. Page and our new mayor, but I do like actually that we're talking about sort of regional, you know, health restrictions, because I think that could down the road lead to less confusion. And frankly, the virus doesn't stop at Skinker, but it's really frustrating.
I thought it stopped at Skinker and at 11 o'clock.
11 p.m.
At 11 p.m. Right.
You're drinking
no, it kicks in at 11 p.m.
But it's just
it
so frustrating to the situation in the county where there's a complete, I mean, we've got it in the city too, but not so much on the COVID restrictions, but the inability of Dr. Page to work with the council and give them a heads up and say, hey, here's why we're doing this. Here's the science behind it. Here's what the experts are saying. And I think this could have been avoided with some phone calls and some politics.
Yes, and that's why I say the science. And when this first happened, I said, I want to see data, I want science. And I think that's what's been left out. And when we talk about the mask, I think when the people went to that county council meeting, I think you have a group of people, and I'm one of them, that I followed all the rules. I got my vaccine, I wore my mask, I stayed away, I didn't get to see I have a brother-in-law I didn't see for 2 years. And so we thought it was okay for those of us who followed the rules to now go out and not have to wear masks. Well, what happened was those who have chosen not to get vaccinated don't realize that they are a host, and no matter what happens, they'll continue to get all of us sick. And so if we had told the people who didn't want to vaccinate, if that is your choice, that's fine. But you cannot go out in public and get people sick. And now here's where we are. People don't realize that the reason the people in the health industry, so we're talking about the doctors, the nurses, they are now getting COVID. And why are they getting COVID? It's because they got the shot first, right? So we've been told they thought we might need a booster. Well, guess what? What are we going to do if all the nurses, all the doctors have COVID? They're not going to be able to take care of those of us who get COVID. So if you choose not to get vaccinated, you have now jeopardized all of us.
I think that's going a little too far, especially because the one thing that bothers me about the vaccination passports or requiring people to go in, it completely discounts the natural immunity. Now, there's mixed, you know, reviews, I think, medically on how long that immunity stays or, you know, is in effect. And now we don't even know how long the vaccination might last, because now you got Moderna and the others talking about early boosters, maybe earlier than we thought. But why can't someone who has had COVID say, I have natural immunity, I'm not going to get the vaccine?
Because it's changed. So it mutates. So that, once again, let's go back to the science. The COVID that you had, if you had it, and might have family members that had it, they are not now immune to the new COVID variant. So it's going to keep mutating. As long as it has a host, and a host is somewhere it can land and recreate itself, this could go on for years. We have to step up to the plate and say, do you want this to go on for the next 2-3 years?
Well, I don't think, first of all, I don't think there's been never an example of something like this that's gone on for years and years. I think the course of this is going to probably be over by next spring, you know, one way or the other. Everyone's going to get this. I mean, you're either going to get it or you're going to get it when you're vaccinated. It's running through the population. We're seeing some encouraging things from India right now and from the UK. I'd keep a close eye on the UK right now, because we are going to be able to get out of this because so many people are getting the variant at this point. But Mary Elizabeth,
I was just going to say, we don't know the science. This idea that we know what's happening, if you look at the studies that show communities that required masks, communities that didn't, the UK is a great example. I look at their data a lot too. The breakthrough rates under this new Delta strain, it's like 80% of the people who are hospitalized in the UK had the Delta strain, right? And it's now they have a different vaccine in the UK, and they have and their population is further ahead than the US is. But the truth is, we don't know. And I think that when you start to put people into a classification of clean or unclean, you've either going to do exactly what I say or you're not. I get the frustration. I really do. And I hear you. But what's the end point for you then, Donna? Is it only 100% of people have to be vaccinated? Like, there's you've got to get to a point where you say people are going to make a decision about their health. And coming from the party that this is a private discussion between you and your doctor, this is a little egregious to me to say suddenly now you have to have a passport to be able to go out in public.
No, what I'm saying is that, well, let's just make it very clear that everyone knows that all of us that followed the rules are the most frustrated right now. Those who never got vaccinated and had really good time down at the Lake of the Ozarks last year, that's not a big deal.
Wait a second. That's ridiculous. Who cares what people do at the Lake of the Ozarks outdoors? I mean, that's the other thing. I keep seeing these images of outdoors.
Except
I don't care about
that. Was fine.
Well, right. That's fine because it's Chicago and Lori Lightfoot. But
did you see they required You had to bring your vaccination card.
Oh, give me
card
a break.
But not to vote?
Really? You think that was enforced with 100,000 people? Guess what? It was not. Okay? Yeah, they told people that. There's no chance that that's what happened. Look, we are not going back to lockdowns. All right? We're moving forward. I like to see us in a situation where we don't have to wear masks in school. But, Mary Elizabeth, it looks like that's going to happen, at least for the near term here, right?
In I don't know. It's going to be a school district by school district decision. Florida just passed a law that said that if your school says you have to wear masks and as a parent you don't want to, that school district has to provide a voucher for the parents to be able to go to a different school system. That seems to be a prudent
That's
approach.
That's pretty hardcore.
You're right. I mean, listen, you have an obligation to educate students. And if the parents feel that this is going to harm their health by wearing a mask, parents should be able to make that decision. Kids are not, thank God, getting sick and dying at the rates that we see the elderly. This is a very different
disease.
Well,
not even close.
I mean, there's no argument in favor of doing this. And in fact, many, many schools around the state didn't require masks and didn't have mass transmission.
Okay, but in fairness, there is concern medically right now that more kids are getting the variant and they're making some of these younger kids who are not vaccinated sick. Now, the percentages are very low.
Abysmal.
I mean, if you look at, right, extremely low. But we act like, we almost behave, and when I say we, the media in particular, like the numbers are the opposite.
That's right.
Sometimes.
But do we're bad at evaluating risk.
How long do we want to wait until it's okay, only a few kids have gotten really sick or may have died, or is it 10 kids? I mean, where's the threshold of, we don't have a vaccine for these kids, so what's the threshold? We're going to wait and see if they die, we're going to wait and see if they get sick. I mean,
but you're assuming that they're social distancing outside of school. So what, listen, I've got six kids. And what you see happening is kids playing outside with their friends, playing inside with their friends, going to birthday parties with their friends. But then at school, they're wearing masks all day. It's so inconsistent.
By the way, this is a great point, because this has been my overall point on masks from the beginning. One of the things that happened this week, I don't even know, and people get back on their heels. Remember, you heard the guy from the Biden administration, I can't remember which experts, say, you, if you're unvaccinated, you should be wearing masks indoors around your family, right? The mayor of Miami said that last year in the thick of COVID. As weird as that sounds, now bear with me here, okay? Hear me out. I'm not telling you that you should do that or it's a good idea. What I am going to tell you is, as hard as it is for people to hear this, that makes a lot more sense. If you're not trying to get COVID, that makes a lot more sense than walking around with a mask on in a store or being in a restaurant or anything like that, because people are doing exactly what Mary Elizabeth said. They're virtue signaling. They're going into the stores with their masks. There's nobody getting this at Schnucks. There never was from the beginning. They're getting it in small, confined places with people that they know when they let their guard down. That's how this happens. So the masks everywhere, especially the notion that we were wearing these outdoors last year, it was utterly ridiculous. We should be telling people to this day, go outside. Go outside as much as you want.
Be careful with those
small confined spaces.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and with all of this, we do know wearing a mask does help prevent you getting the virus. Helps prevent you from transmitting
really
it and from getting it.
Maybe, Jack, I'll give you 16, 17%. But the vaccine has 90 or 95%,
right.
Okay? So this notion, this is another problem I have with the mask.
Vaccinated, I'm okay with the vaccine.
But to tell everyone to wear a mask and to enforce this thing, it gives people the impression that they're impenetrable. They are not.
No, they're not.
And they're not even close to being impenetrable, especially the ones that the kids are wearing, getting all snotty and dirty.
Right.
A million different masks. It's interesting to me, though, that you're comfortable with a vaccine passport, but you don't want people to show an ID to vote. Right? Like, the cognitive dissonance between how we handle these different issues is pretty unreal.
That's a good point. Any of my Democrat friends like to address that, Donna and Jack? Isn't that?
Well, look, I mean, at the end of the day, voting's a fundamental right. I think you're, you know,
so
going,
is assembly.
So assembly is, but, you know, a business who's got to protect its employees, I think, has a right to say you can't come in here
I'm not talking about a business. I'm talking about a government mandate.
Yeah.
I think
I will never support a government mandate. I think a lot of my friends on the left wouldn't support that. But
passport's a government mandate. A vaccine passport is simply, you know, if an entity wants to say to come in here, you need to show that you're vaccinated because we're still in the middle of a pandemic. I think that's totally
acceptable. That's fine, but that's different than what they're doing in New York. isn't it? They're requiring all the businesses to say, we need to have you prove your vaccination. They're not saying businesses can do that. They're saying you have to do this. You cannot come into these businesses or these shows or wherever if you're not vaccinated or you can't prove you're vaccinated. Now, there are millions of people in New York City. There's no way that this is going to work, but they're going to try, because I think the other thing is, and this is the unspoken, you know, secret, not that it's a big secret, is they're doing all this to make people get vaccinated.
Right.
Whether it works or not, that's the question.
Well, and vaccine numbers are, I mean, people are getting vaccinated. I mean, if there's one positive of this Delta variant, it's that it's got COVID front and center again, and people are realizing again after kind of several months of a lull that this is really serious, and vaccine numbers are upticking.
We spent some time, there was a Zoom call this morning with a bunch of us here from the radio station trying to figure, and I'm working with the Department of Health on messaging for the vaccine. I certainly believe it. I've had plenty of conversations with people who don't, and they have their own different reasons. We've had those discussions here as well. But I just have this feeling that the only way to get people motivated for this, you can tell them, they can hear me or other celebrities or whatever, but until they see people that are struggling in an ICU, family members, friends. I remember asking Bill O'Reilly last year after some of the worst happened in New York in the first wave. And I said, because at that point, things were getting better in New York and everyone was complying. And I said, why do you think that is? And he said, well, they saw their friends and family die. And saw people die in front of them, so they're scared. They change their behavior. Now, we're seeing some of that from Greene County. We're seeing some of that from the hospitals at the Lake of the Ozarks. We're seeing it from Texas and other places as well, where people are saying, look, I didn't think it was a good idea to get vaccinated. If I had to do it again, I would take the shot, right? So right. That, but will anything else move the needle?
I
think the incentives.
People who want to travel.
Yeah.
I mean, that's I've heard several people who say, listen, I want to go to Italy next year.
Yeah.
And
right.
If you're vaccinated, Italy will let you in. I want to go to wherever. So
it
I think
like
that's
going to
be a motivator. Yeah, that's
going
to motivate people. Hang on, if you would, please. We have much more to go here. It's a Reardon Roundtable for a Friday afternoon. We have Sue's News in the next hour. Dan Buffa on movies. Lots to come here this evening and this afternoon. 97.1 FM Talk.
Fall right into a dream on the galaxies in the middle of the city in the
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, busy Friday afternoon. It's a Reardon Roundtable with St. Louis Alderman Jack Coder, State Rep Mary Elizabeth Coleman, and State Rep Donna Behringer. Jane is off. Donna and Jack, I'll start with you on just, we talked about COVID, but what's been happening just with the St. Louis County Council and Faisal Khan, I do want to address that issue because even, Jack, even when, when you've lost the local paper, and when the local paper knows that you're lying with headlines above the fold, you kind of maybe should back off on, you know, the victim tour, shouldn't you?
Yeah, it's a bad look. I mean, I don't know what, if anything, was actually said to this guy, but regardless, I mean, the letter was crazy, and then the fact that there's video, he flipped off a bunch of citizens. I mean, he's not an elected official, but he is a high-ranking county official, and he's flipping off the public. I don't care what they say to you. You can't do that.
No. And when I was at the Board of Aldermen, there were many times where we had committee hearings where they were very hostile to us as elected officials in that small committee room, and yeah. We had to have police there. So, I mean—
But you didn't flip anybody off.
No, you have to deal with it, and you don't escalate it. You absolutely don't escalate it. So that was something I guess they're just not used to in the county, and we are in the city.
Yeah. A little more rough and tumble here.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, some of the things that Sam Page has been doing, I mean, then he sits in his backyard by himself with his mask on and gives his little speech. That was embarrassing. These are your peeps, Jack. These are Democrats. I know you're in the city,
or a
but
big
really?
Tent.
Oh, yeah? All right. I mean,
do you want that guy in your tent, Jack?
Yeah. We got people we probably don't want in our tent.
Right.
But I would certainly wonder about that tent for sure. Well, and, you know, on a serious note, though, here in the city, because I put this up on Twitter yesterday, and people always tell me, you know, you can't compare the two. But I'm going to compare the two because I think this is a serious issue. And there was this nonsense deal yesterday where I have to repeat this. I don't know if you guys saw this on Twitter. So there was somebody, I don't know who this guy, maybe you guys know, David Dwight IV, and he tweeted, Mayor Tashara Jones giving the welcome day for day two of the 2021 STL Racial Equity Summit. And it says, much love for her sounding off. So I responded, when is the 2021 STL Keep Kids From Dying Every Day in the Street, Stop Ignoring Violent Crime Summit? So he decided to engage and said, if you are actually interested in reducing violence and not just posturing on the internet, this is where it gets good. Wait for it. You'd be hearing from community leaders from @defundSML. PD.
Oh, I'm
like, okay,
right.
All right, dude, no. Yeah. And then I had to apologize because I didn't declare my pronouns because everyone on this particular chat was. But the story is, and you guys know this, that the number, I think Lieutenant Colonel Troy Doyle tweeted this out just before I was saying all this stuff to, you know, to the folks that were meeting with Tashara. As of Tuesday, this was just Tuesday, 63 children have been injured or killed in shootings in the St. Louis region. 18 of them have died. Those are staggering numbers.
No, it's terrible, and it's inexcusable. And I mean, and look, we're going to get smoked in the midterms if we keep up this defund the police nonsense.
Oh, please
it's not
do.
What people,
please
it's not
do.
What people
Wait, hold
want.
On. You saw the clip? Did you?
With Cory Bush?
Oh, we're going to play it here.
Yeah, well,
we're
going to
play it here. He walks me into it. Are you kidding? This is the best.
It's unbelievable.
I was on a radio station in Baltimore this morning with an old friend who's filling in out there. And I told him, I said, look, people are outraged by this, but this is a celebration for us on the Republican side. People want to take back the House. She's the best thing we have going for us right now. Check this out.
I'm going to make sure I have security because I know I have had attempts on my life and I have too much work to do. There are too many people that need help right now for me to allow that. So if I end up spending $200,000, if I spend $10 more dollars on it, you know what? I get to be here to do the work. So suck it up, and defunding the police has to happen. We need to defund the police and put that money into social safety nets because we're trying to save lives.
Suck it up. Defund the police has to happen. That we need to bring her to campaign events.
Personal security details.
$200,000 more for me, but not for thee.
Now, the other thing that she was caught in blatantly, in my opinion, is a lie about these threats on her life by police, because that would be reported to the Capitol Police. That would be reported to the FBI.
I would
when
hope.
The team from when the team from CBS pressed her on that, you could even hear in her voice and facial expressions, she was lying out her ass. But no one's going to call Cori Bush on that, for sure.
It brings to my mind, and it's to this day is upsetting to me, it brings to my mind watching the bricks being thrown through the former mayor's windows of her home. Paint was thrown all over it. They tore up the landscaping. They terrorized the neighbors. That garners security. And they were criticizing because they had police staked at her
right.
house
right.
because they kept doing it. And so I you can't compare the two. You just can't.
And I just it's such a tone deaf slogan. I mean, if you go to any neighborhood that's been suffering from gun violence and talk to people who live there, the last thing they want is less police. Now, look, they want police to be respectful and respect people's rights and treat them, you know, treat them like human beings. But everybody wants more police on the streets. They want that's the number one thing we've got to do to stop this violence.
But you know what's unfortunate, what's frustrating with Congresswoman Bush is that she could make these points that she has about social workers, and that's not illegitimate. Those are things that I certainly would put on the table, but not at the same time as defunding the police. So if she wouldn't go down that track and say, look, we have to have discussions. We want to bring people together and talk about these things, try to come up with solutions. But when you alienate even people on your own side that don't want to hear that, and when you're also talking about defunding the Pentagon when that's the number one employer in your district, this stuff is nonsense. It really is.
Complete nonsense.
What I would like to see the Congresswoman do is take the same passion that she has for protesting and bring it back to her district and have a town hall meeting. And the only people allowed in the town hall meeting are those who either had a child shot or a family member murdered. And they'd be the only ones allowed in the town hall meeting.
I like that idea.
And then the elected officials would have to be up there and they would have to answer, because we did that. I can't remember. It was 3 years ago at Harris Stowe. And I still to this day can't get over the pain those mothers are in, the tears, and they were begging for help. They need to be in front of the people who need help, and they need to answer and help problem solve for the people whose children are being shot.
Well, and I just want to compare the results and the tactics that we see in the state Senate with Senator Brian Williams, who passed the first major police reform bill since Ferguson in the state of Missouri, and Cori Bush. Now, I would guess that the congresswoman and the state senator share some ideas. They probably do. But Senator Williams worked across the aisle. He worked with law enforcement to get something that was sustainable, to get bad cops off the street and to support the people who are trying to save our lives, a both-and approach. And he got incredible, meaningful progress. And instead, Congresswoman Bush is just absolutely taking any ground away that progressive woke movement.
I want to make an Olympic comparison here, because I feel like Sue will appreciate this. I feel like we need Rowdy Gaines with the call here, because she has absolutely hit the wall with AOC and Ilhan Omar. And when she hit the wall and she turned, she went for gold and she got it. She beat him by like two lengths in the pool, Cori Bush. And she's now the gold medal winner of being insane in the United States Congress. We can now have her as our own here in St. Louis, and the rest of the country can be proud as well.
This defund the police nonsense, she's actually detracted from what was otherwise a pretty good week for her. I mean, she got out there. She did that sit-in at the Capitol to raise awareness about the eviction moratorium. And ultimately, the president extended it, you know, through executive action, I guess.
Illegally extended the eviction moratorium. That's a great thing to do.
She was getting very good press about that. And now we're talking instead about her silly comments.
Okay, you can give her a victory on that, because that's her wheelhouse for sure. Right. But let's talk about the reality of this. Do you have any landlords in your district here downtown that might not be getting rent?
Yes. I mean, look, it's a very complicated issue.
Maybe retirees who put money into investment properties.
And it's something, honestly, I think at some point we do have to look at. We've got this program to give rent assistance at the state level is wildly inefficient. There's $300+ million, and somehow we cannot get it out to these landlords.
What was it? $13 million has been appropriated.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I mean, the money's there.
Well,
you know,
why do you need to? But listen, why do you need to apply for it if you're on? You don't have to pay your rent. You're not going to get evicted. You're getting big checks that are coming from stimulus packages from the federal. I mean, there's been no incentive for anybody to actually apply for the program.
Well, but people, landlords, and so the safer money, the money sitting in the state account, landlords are applying for it and still not getting it. I don't understand what's going on.
I had a soundbite yesterday where one of the landlords who was on Fox was explaining that there also has to be some cooperation with tenants on the paperwork. And if you're not going to get that, then that's a tough spot, right?
Yeah, it is. It's hard. And that's where I think at some point, you know, I don't know how long this new eviction moratorium that the president did through executive action will last. But at some point, yes, if you have entirely uncooperative tenants, landlords have to be able to have the right to get their property.
Well, they're going to be foreclosed on. They're going to lose the property themselves. And then what's going to happen? The tenant's going to be on the street because the well, property's we, been
by
sold.
The way, it goes beyond that because the tenant's out on the street and then everybody that can't find housing
correct.
That now has to, because we already have a crunched housing market, maybe they need to rent.
Right.
They can't do that
well,
as
and
well.
Running with an eviction on your record is increasingly, I mean, it's very difficult.
I just think it's a mess right now, and yeah. I don't know what the end game is on that, because I said this, I think, earlier this week. I'm all for people who genuinely need help in this country. And certainly there was absolute desperation for folks in the immediate aftermath of the pandemic. But I still think with these child care credits that are getting deposited in people's accounts, there are a lot of people that simply don't need that. We all know people that got money last year that didn't need the money. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people donated it, or they tipped extra to people when they were ordering out. All that is great. But there doesn't seem to be an efficient way for us to get the money to the people who truly need it. And not give money to people who don't.
Well, this is the problem with all the social safety net programs, right? The Republican Party has never been against a social safety net for those who truly need it. But when you start to have a system where you're not determining who needs it and everybody's getting access to these funds, it just, I mean, has anybody looked at the inflation rates? Has anybody looked at the spending
yeah.
that's happening?
Yeah.
And I get that Republicans have taken a whiff at trying to deal with inflation for a long time, so we don't have much credibility there. I wish we had more credibility and made those hard choices. But it's not like it's never going to happen.
Hang on. We have one more segment of the Reardon Roundtable on this Friday afternoon, still to come on 97.1 FM Talk. News news in the next hour. Dan Buffa on movies. Suicide Squad from St. Louis native James Gunn and Frank Cusimano, who delivered some very generous milkshakes because he lost a bet on the NBA Finals to me. And I have a milkshake update, Sue, because I predicted this would happen. Also, I did something stupid, so I have to admit that. But we'll.
It's a twofer.
Yeah, it is a twofer. We'll get to that right after 4 o'clock. State reps Mary Elizabeth Coleman, Don Berenger with me this afternoon. Also, St. Louis Alderman Jack Cotter. Jack, let me start with you on the work. House, the Criminal Justice Center. I have a fine sponsor of the show, St. Louis Automatic Door Company, and they can do locksmithing services
yeah.
for businesses. Can I send them down to the jail to fix the damn locks
right.
for once and for all?
Here's what's so frustrating about this, and I've talked to folks in City Hall who are very involved in this effort. Fixing the locks is actually pretty complicated, and I know it sounds crazy, but yes, you can't have a jail without locks. I think the glass walls are a problem too, but let's get the locks first. But the locks can't just run to the hardware store and get the parts. These have to be fabricated, and it's going to take months. What I don't understand is
2 years though they've been talking about it. Can
you they've
get
been talking
a,
about it for
can
a while.
Can you get like
why,
a bike
why
chain
can't
lock
clear?
And just put the right. put it
but
around the
why
bars?
Why can't we just say to people, this is going to take us a while. Here's the timeline, here's the cost. Oh, and by the way, while we're trying to fix the locks, we're not going to keep inmates in those cells. As I've been suggesting since my campaign in the spring, you've got to move everybody to the workhouse, the medium security institution, empty out the downtown jail, fix it, clean it up,
right.
repair it, and then
that's
you can
the better
move
plan.
People back.
That is the better plan.
That is
well,
the
that
better
sounds
plan.
Like governing. I don't understand why that
Exactly.
Instead, we're governing by slogan.
Well,
and it's,
not
it's,
only that, but then becomes national news again.
Right.
That this is what people know us from. Cori Bush. Jailhouse riots, and people dying every day on the street.
God,
and then a prosecutor who, well, plays the victim card. Most of the country thinks that she's a victim, but we know here that she's letting first degree, you know,
well,
murder
did
suspects
you see
go.
What this week that just came out? There was another victim, somebody that was charged.
Oh no,
twice
maybe
and
I missed
prosecuted.
That.
And there's
from
there's,
Kim.
From Kim. Now the St. Louis County prosecutor has stepped in because there's a new third victim that was killed.
Yeah.
After
yeah.
both of those
after
two.
They let the two out that
after
person
the one person who'd already been alleged to have killed
two
people
that?
Now there's a third person that happened.
Well, because there's a bad story about her every day. It's impossible to keep up. And I mean, she's and now you know, it's clear. I'm glad she's at least recognizing she can't do her job.
She is?
And she's taking high profile cases, death
yeah,
penalty cases,
true.
By the way, that she said she's against the death penalty, but she's still charging death penalty cases and trying to pawn them off on the attorney general because
so
she's not capable
with,
of
what happened with
prosecuting.
The David Dorn case? Because
I don't know. So that's the other part that's so crazy.
No,
so she's asked
well,
for
she
a special
sent that
prosecutor.
To a special prosecutor.
Well, she's tried. She can't send anything to a special
okay.
prosecutor. The judge has to order it.
I got it.
She's asked, and she's even suggested who that prosecutor should be. Ultimately, that will be a judge's decision. But she won't tell anybody why there's a conflict and why it needs to go to a special
well,
prosecutor.
I know why,
which
she
is
like
crazy.
Cops.
Maybe that's it. I don't know. But she's going to have to explain why. You don't get to say, I have a conflict and can't do my constitutional job that I got elected to do,
Mary
without
Elizabeth,
giving
apparently
a reason.
She can do that because she's been doing it and she just got reelected. So.
I mean, how many years did that office lose in experience? I mean, do they have any prosecutors left before her?
There's like
very
one
few.
Or two
well,
people
God
left.
Bless those people for sticking it out.
Isn't the same thing happening with Wesley Bell?
Yeah. Wesley Bell doesn't have nearly the turnover. Okay. I mean, there's
okay,
not.
Okay, but nearly the turnover is like 200% down to 75%.
I can't speak to
I don't
to
have
his...
actual numbers. Yeah. I'm not. Please don't quote me. I'm just saying he has some significant problems with turnover.
All right, I got to get through a couple more topics because we're running out of time. Andrew Cuomo, the standard bearer for your party.
Oh, my God.
Chad Coter, Donna Behringer. I mean, is there any question that he should go at this point?
No, not. No. I mean, he's got to go. Okay. I mean, it's outrageous.
Down.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess they're going to impeach him and remove him if he doesn't step down. I guess he's got till next Friday to respond to
the
impeachment allegations.
On him.
Did you see him at the pool? I mean,
no.
He's just sitting there hanging
out. Is he shirtless?
No, he was like wearing pants, which I thought was weird at
the
pool.
What a phenomenal ego he has. That's just amazing to me.
Does have a phenomenal ego.
It's unbelievable.
Wow.
And now they're trying to spin it as this isn't a sex scandal. Okay,
oh.
Well, we're not even calling it a sex scandal. It's sexual harassment, and it's
sure.
criminal what he's doing.
Yeah.
So he's got to go.
All right, well, we agreed on all of that. That's good. That was easy. Why is there so much, Mary Elizabeth, I'll start with you. Why is there so much interest in, apparently, from Republicans, the Missouri auditor's race?
Well, there's not another open statewide seat, and I think that's really...
But the state treasurer now wants to become the state auditor because the state treasurer is not good enough, I guess, right?
Well, I mean, to be fair, the state auditor's job does look like more fun.
I think what you mean is if you're the state auditor, you actually do something that people
Listen,
may
I think
need.
Yeah, Scott's done a nice job in the treasurer's office. Eric did a nice job before that, but... That is not a really active office. And the auditor's office, I think, you know, if you're somebody who doesn't want waste and fraud and abuse, it's a place you can really do some good for the taxpayer. So I think that's why there's a lot of interest.
Who's your token Democrat in that race? You guys got someone?
Do we even
sacrifice?
I honestly don't even think we have a candidate.
I don't think you do either. I don't think you would want a candidate.
Yeah. Isn't that better, though? I mean, poor, yeah. Like, they don't really need a sacrificial lamb, do they?
No.
I'm sure someone will put their name on
the bill. I think you guys should just sit out of the Senate race, too. I mean, why spend all the money?
Just take a whiff.
I'm not really joking. Hey, the Cardinals are really, really bad. So Scott Jennings, who's one of my political guys, you see him on CNN, he used to work for George W. Bush and also the minority leader Mitch McConnell, and Scott's a great contributor. He's in town today. He just took a great 10-day trip to Mount Rushmore and the Grand Canyon with his, I think only one son on this trip, and he's bringing him in here. I can't go because I'm out of town, but I helped him, thank the Cardinals, and Joe Strom helped him get some tickets. But I sent him a text earlier this afternoon because I knew he was in town. I said, dude, look, if you're too ashamed to go to the game, I understand. Just donate the tickets to somebody because
Mark,
this
you weren't
is
just
awful.
Taking a walk?
This is
it's
awful.
Bad.
It, it really is. I didn't think it could get this bad here in San. But, you know, the fan base is smart enough to know that we didn't want to give away anything last week before the deadline. This season is hopeless. Let's kind of move on and point toward next year and beyond because we're going to lose a bunch of people who aren't performing with their contracts, which is a good thing. But it's going to be hard to fill that stadium in the next couple of months.
I was there last weekend. There was a lot of empty seats, and I don't think it was because of the Delta variant. I think it's because of the product on the field.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And what's going to draw people in, and the Cardinals have a great staff for this, but the promotions will keep people coming in. It's sad because we're going to commemorate this thing that happened 10 years ago, which was so much fun, and it's not going to be exactly the same.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think anyone could have predicted that it was going to get this dismal, unfortunately. But you do have, we're spoiled also. That's the other thing about St. Louis and baseball.
Right.
We are very spoiled here. We're not used to being at the bottom of the division or, struggling like this, certainly in August. But hopefully, Jack, I don't know what COVID holds in store, but we have Q and the Lou coming up and some other great events to draw people downtown.
Yep, we do. We've got some big stuff coming up downtown. We mentioned the Q. I know this weekend we've got a big party down on the landing. If people are around, I think tomorrow afternoon all day, and we're going to be, this is the, I think, bicentennial celebration of Laclede's Landing. So we'll be down
there. There's the bicentennial for Missouri is Tuesday.
On
Tuesday. 200 years.
Yeah. And it's national ice, or we're doing a statewide ice cream social for it. So if you go to just Google social ice cream social Missouri bicentennial, there's locations all around the state participating in free ice cream on the day. So that's kind of fun.
That is awesome. All right. Well, thanks, gang, for coming in here. Donna, thanks for pinch hitting. She's a regular on the roundtable anyway, but Jane was off, so I appreciate it. Jack, great to see you. I know you're going to hit golf balls. Hope you don't shank too many.
We
got to
get
out. We haven't played once this year, have we?
Let me know.
I played with Rainford in Florida a couple weeks ago. I'm back. I'm back in the game.
Good.
Mary Elizabeth Coleman, great to have you on. Great to see you. Have a great weekend, everyone. Sue's News after 4 o'clock, Dan Buffa with movies, and then also Frank Cusimano. And the milkshake story is also coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.